Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Wednesday. Charles Little Charlie Reed Grisham Jr., 44, of Odessa, passed away from injuries from an auto accident on Friday, May 27th. He was born January 17, 1978, in Odessa to Francis K. Seipert and Charles Reed Grisham, Sr. He is survived by his parents, daughter Addison Grisham of Odessa, aunts Delia Arthur of Gardendale, Sandy Sneegariff of Scottsdale, Arizona, Sharon and Ray Ifera of Crane, and Sue Koppel of Hayden, Idaho, uncles Denny and Don Seipert of Burnt, and Wayne and Linda Seipert of Garden City. He was the only child but had 63 cousins. Charles was preceded in death by his grandparents, Buford and Genevieve Grisham, and J.T. and Johnny Seipert, Uncle James and Aunt Nita Seipert, Uncle Calvin Seipert, and Aunt Elizabeth Holt. Funeral services will be Friday, June 3rd at 10 a.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home, with Kent Ellenberg officiating. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests considering a donation to St. John's Episcopal School. Bode George Owens, Jr., Buck, went to be with the Lord on Sunday, May 29th, with his family by his side. Visitation will be held at Harper Funeral Home, San Angelo, from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, June 1st. Graveside service will be at 10 a.m. on Thursday, June 2nd, at Cedar Hill Cemetery in Ozona. Buck is survived by Jan, his wife of 69 years, son Rusty Owens of Big Lake, daughter Mitzi Drennan and husband Brent of Mason, and Mickey Owens and wife Laurie of Monahans, brother Tommy Owens and Edra Ann of Rankin, grandchildren, and 11 great-grandchildren. He left behind many nieces and nephews. Buck was preceded in death by his parents and his sister June Owens Scott and daughter-in-law Penny Owens. Memorials may be made to the Barnhart Cowboy Methodist Church, P.O. Box 12, Barnhart, Texas, 76930, West Texas Boys Ranch, 10223 Boys Ranch, San Angelo, Texas, 76904, or West Texas Rehab, 4601 Hartford Street, Abilene, Texas, 79605. Family and friends can share online condolences at www.harper-funeralhome.com. Abel R. Martinez, El Indio, 86, of Odessa, passed away on Saturday, May 21st, in Odessa. Public visitation will be Thursday, June 2nd, at Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory in the outside chapel from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Rosary will be Thursday, June 2nd, Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory in the outside chapel at 7 p.m. Funeral services will be at St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Odessa on Friday, June 3rd at 10 a.m. Officiating will be Father Carlos Rodriguez. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory. Abel R. Martinez was born in Delicias, Mexico, to Pedro and Maria Martinez, whom have preceded him in death. Abel is survived by three sons and one daughter, Abel Martinez, Jr. and wife Rachel of Odessa, Cruz Martinez of Odessa, Abel Martinez of Colorado, and Lorena Salcido and husband Rodney of Odessa. Abel was blessed with eight grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. Leon John Duvokaitis III, 58, of Odessa, died Wednesday, May 25th in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Maribel Earhart Gaddis, 97, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 26th in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Michael Leon Kennedy, 69, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 26th in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Edward Lee Langham, 72, of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 24th in Dallas. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Pamela Jane Champion Price, 77, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 22nd in San Francisco, California. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Hello, this is Cindy reading Health and Wellness from the Midland Reporter Telegram for June 1st. Men can take control over their health, by Dr. John Peterson and Dr. Lawrence Wilson, Midland Health. Midland Health has adopted the vision statement that Midland will be the healthiest community in Texas. With that in mind, please spend a few minutes and consider men's health and the relationship to the health of our community. According to national health statistics, men die roughly 5 years earlier than do women. In 2019, 30 million women and 24.1 million men were aged 65 and older. That's 125 women for every 100 men. At age 85 and older, this ratio increased to 178 women for every 100 men, according to 2020 Profile of Older Americans, ACL.gov. Why is there a medical gender gap between men and women? At least in part, it is attributed to men being less attentive to their mental and physical well-being than women. As the table illustrates, the highest risk of death for young men up to the mid-40s is from unintentional injuries, homicide, and suicide. High-risk actions and behaviors are the likeliest cause of death in young men. From age 45 on, diseases that are in large part related to other lifestyle choices become the highest cause of death in men. A quick online search of men's health will easily lead to a short list of common medical conditions of concern. The list includes heart disease. Heart disease remains the number one cause of death for men. We can significantly improve our risk of heart disease by managing our behaviors such as diet and exercise, avoiding tobacco, managing obesity and reducing hypertension, diabetes, dyslipidemia, and managing stress. All these contribute to the risk of heart disease. Cancer. The next leading cause of death among men is cancers such as colorectal, prostate, and skin. Wearing sunscreen and healthy eating habits, high in vegetables and fruits, low in processed foods and red meat, can decrease one's risk. Regular screening through your primary care provider, especially when over the age of 50, is recommended for colorectal and prostate cancer. Diabetes. Adult onset diabetes used to be a disease of senior adults, but is now seen in adolescents and younger. This is directly related to eating processed foods full of simple sugars, obesity, and a sedentary lifestyle. The risk can be eliminated by eating healthfully, staying within your proper weight, and staying active. Reading online about pre-diabetes can provide much more information about diabetes risks and prevention. Behavioral health. Men tend to avoid expressing their feelings or admitting to feeling stress. When impacted by traumatic events, whether physical or emotional, men will hide the impact. These suppressed feelings may lead to deeper behavioral effects. Depression may manifest through short temper, anger, or irritable behavior, rather than with sadness. Untreated depression or chronic stress may lead to heart disease and other medical conditions. So many factors today can add to stress, including increased cost of living, inflation, supply chain disruptions, COVID-19, and general uncertainty in the world. Attending to mental wellness is integral to one's overall wellness and health, but tends to be minimized or ignored. A great starting point is talking to a trusted friend, pastor, priest, or to your primary care provider. Erectile dysfunction, ED, is common in men as they age, particularly in the 70 and older group. Although medications can help decrease ED, alcohol and tobacco use also can increase ED. If ED develops before seeking medications as a solution, remember it can be a sign of other serious medical problems, such as diabetes or high blood pressure. Seeking an evaluation with a trusted primary care provider should be the first step in addressing ED. STIs, including HPV, sexually transmitted infections, STIs, are prevalent in young, sexually active men and women. 2017 Texas data suggests a rate of 722 cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, or syphilis per 100,000. Along with those three well-known STIs, human papillomavirus, HPV, can easily be spread with unprotected sexual behavior. Using a condom and for HPV, receiving the HPV vaccine can reduce the risk of STI and subsequent complications such as genital warts. Low T. Testosterone begins to drop in men in their 30s. It is a natural decline, but in some cases can contribute to low sex drive, difficulty concentrating, or reduced energy level. If symptoms develop, checking in with your primary care doctor can allow for an evaluation of low T. Your primary care provider can determine if there are any underlying issues that may be treatable that are influencing low T, or if testosterone therapy is recommended. On the positive side, men can take control over their future health by prioritizing healthy choices and prevention, healthy eating habits, eliminating or decreasing unhealthy lifestyle behaviors like excessive alcohol consumption, tobacco use, and sedentary behavior can significantly reduce the risk of chronic health problems as we age. Making sure to get regular screening health checkups with a primary care physician can also enable one to manage chronic health conditions like diabetes, hypertension, and hypercholesterolemia, dyslipidemia, which over time lead to heart disease, strokes, and kidney disease. We tend to avoid doctor's visits when feeling well. That makes sense. Up until the age of 50, there are no regular medical screenings recommended for men who require seeing a doctor. Unfortunately, diabetes, hypertension, and dyslipidemia may have no symptoms until they have been present for many years. You won't know you are being injured until the damage is done. Checking on and managing these medical problems can improve your quality of life and longevity. The common sense pillars of lifestyle medicine, as adopted by Midland Health and other organizations, address the root cause of all these killers over the spectrum of our lifetime. Six pillars of lifestyle medicine, Lifestyle Medicine Center, MidlandHealth.org. The six pillars of lifestyle medicine. 1. Healthful eating. Healthful eating isn't just about what you eat or how much you eat. Midland Health's Lifestyle Medicine Clinic has abundant resources for those interested in improving their health through what they put in their mouth and what they don't put in their mouth. 2. Increased physical activity. Exercise is vital to both physical and mental health. 3. Managing stress. Stress is a given in everyday living in America. Successful use of effective tools to deal with stress leads to improved health outcomes, like lower blood pressure, and mental health outcomes, like reduced tension, depression, suicide, and risky behavior. 4. Avoiding substance abuse. Tobacco, alcohol, and drug use can have negative or even deadly consequences. Identifying and managing risks is essential. There is wide agreement that there is no safe or healthful level of tobacco use. When alcohol use rises above well-defined limited levels of use, it also poses a significant health risk. Abuse of alcohol leads to injuries and death. It also is associated with depression, homicide, and suicide. It is often used as a poor substitute for effective stress management. 5. Good sleep habits are critical to your body's proper function, prevention of cancer, metabolic diseases like diabetes, and infections. 6. Staying connected. Healthy relationships with others are central to mental health, stress management, and making decisions in life that lead to favorable results. A primary care provider can assure your personal medical history is known and can help you define your health values and goals. Their expertise can help you safely get on track with healthy behaviors. A primary care physician can help you stay healthy, decrease healthcare costs, and improve your quality of life. Also, if you have a primary care provider that knows you, he or she can facilitate appointments with specialists when and if needed. June is Men's Health Month. Our gender is not best known for conscientious decision-making when it comes to health maintenance and disease prevention. But we can go a long way in the right direction by simply establishing a relationship with a primary care physician and incorporating the pillars of lifestyle medicine. Dr. John Peterson is double board certified in emergency medicine and a lifestyle medicine physician, and Dr. Lawrence Wilson, Vice President of Medical Staff and Chief Medical Officer, Midland Health. Mental health, recovering from a crisis. Experts offer tips on coping with the aftermath of shooting in Uvalde. Baylor College of Medicine. After countless school shootings, parents and children are terrified and confused. Parents and guardians struggle with explaining the terror to their children, while they also fear sending them back to school. Baylor College of Medicine experts offer tips for those struggling during this difficult time. Talking to your child. Before talking to your child about traumatic events, ask your child what they know about the event. According to Dr. Laurel Williams, child and adolescent psychiatrist, professor in the Menninger Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Baylor, and medical director for the Texas Child Mental Health Care Consortium, the biggest mistake parents make is when they have not had a chance to process it for themselves yet and start telling their children what they should be worried about. It may not be what the child is initially worried about, giving them a potential new worry or fear. If the child has not heard about the event, give them the appropriate amount of information based on their ability to handle difficult news. It is likely that kids have heard something, so inquiring about this and correcting any inaccurate information is an important first step. At the same time, limit exposure to media for everyone, but especially among children, said Dr. Eric Storch, professor and vice chair in the Menninger Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Baylor. What parents can do. Williams encourages parents to keep their child's routine, which is more helpful for children than not sending them to school. Parents who are upset and distressed about a tragic event should speak with an adult they trust to digest how they feel. Children can sense if you're upset, So if you don't share what is bothering you, you might actually make your child worry more. Don't outpour everything so you frighten them, but don't hide it either, Williams said. Coping as a teacher. For teachers, sharing how they feel after a school shooting is an important first step. Loss of control is very overwhelming for anyone, including teachers, so understanding how to feel safe is important. Coping as a survivor. Survivors of similar events might feel triggered after hearing of school shootings. They should work with someone they trust and feel safe with, so when something triggers them, they can revisit coping skills used in the past. Trauma leaves a mark in your body and mind. It is not something you get over, but something you go through. There is no right way to deal with a trigger to your trauma, but acknowledge that you can get help and you are not alone, Williams said. Schools struggling to meet increase in mental health needs, data shows, by Laura Meckler, The Washington Post. Ask most teachers or principals about the mental health of their students this year, and they will tell you stories of how much worse things are than normal. More fights in the hallway. Students unable to focus in class, depression, and sadness. New federal data helps quantify just how much worse. A survey released Tuesday documents the toll the pandemic has taken on students' mental health, with 7 in 10 public schools seeing a rise in the number of children seeking services. Even more, 76% said faculty and staff members have expressed concerns about depression, anxiety, and trauma in students since the start of the pandemic. Yet only about half of all schools said they were able to effectively provide needed services. The results come as an enormously stressful school year draws to a close. They add to the evidence that the pandemic is leaving this generation of students with significant mental health challenges. Anecdotally, teachers report that students' emotional growth was stunted during months or longer of remote schooling, and that many returned to the classroom without coping skills that would be typical for their ages. The pandemic has taken a clear and significant toll on students' mental health, said Peggy G. Carr, commissioner of the National Center for Education Statistics, which conducted the survey. The survey was conducted in April, before last week's devastating massacre at an elementary school in Uvalde. As a result of the rising needs, 2 in 3 schools increased the types of or amount of mental health services available, the survey found. Almost all schools, 96%, provided at least some school-based mental health services, most commonly from a school counselor or licensed mental health provider employed by the school system. In addition, just over half of schools offered teachers training on how to help students with their social, emotional, or mental well-being, and nearly half created or expanded social and emotional health programs. 7 in 10 schools said they have a program in place to address social and emotional learning, even as those programs have come under attack from conservatives in some communities. Separately, 28% of schools said they made changes to their daily or yearly academic calendars in hopes of mitigating mental health issues. In some places, that was a controversial move because it meant canceling classes on certain days, which caused families already exhausted by campus closures to scramble for care. Indio High School in Southern California offers 14 support groups to address the social-emotional needs of students, Principal Derek Lawson said. Groups address topics such as grief, wellness, anger management, and social skills. Some are long-term and others meet for a short time. Some 400 students out of about 2,000 in the school participate in at least one of the groups, he said. The school relies on outside providers and would run more groups, Lawson said, if he could find ways to staff them. We have greater need than we can find the people, he said.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, May 31st. This is the business and oil page. This article is entitled, Gas Surges to Fresh Record in Another Blow to Drivers, by Jack Whittles, Bloomberg. U.S. gasoline prices surged to another fresh record, the latest blow to motorists heading into the summer driving season. Average retail prices in the U.S. reached $4.619 per gallon as of Monday, according to the latest data from the American Automobile Association. That's up from $4.178 a gallon a month ago and is about 52% higher than a year earlier. President Joe Biden has vowed to do everything in his power to fight record-setting gasoline and diesel prices, including releasing millions of barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. However, costs have continued to rise, adding fresh pain at the pump for drivers. NYMEX gasoline futures also gained in trading on Monday morning, reaching as high as 403.33 cents a gallon, in what would be another record if they settled at that level. Crude benchmarks Brent and WTI also rose, buoyed by China easing lockdown restrictions and a European Union proposal to ban Russian shipments. This is the Dear Abby column. Retired man takes a liking to neighbor across street. Dear Abby, my husband and I are retired. A short while ago, a young couple moved in across the street. A few months later, my husband, who does yard work for neighbors for extra money, started working in theirs. He never charged them for it, and even after they had the equipment to care for their yard, continued working there some of the time. When Cindy, the wife, would be in the front yard, he frequently stopped his work to talk to her or stare at her. He never stopped his work for anyone else. Several times a week, I'd notice he was over at Cindy's mowing the yards on each side of her house and would make excuses to check to see if anything else needed to be done. He confessed to me about looking through the fence one time, and I'm sure he has done it more. One day, I caught him standing, fixated, watching her work in the front yard, completely oblivious to his surroundings. He has told me how pretty he thinks she is, and she is attractive. She rarely starts a conversation or comes into our yard, but he goes into hers to talk at every opportunity. If I question him about it, he either lies to me, laughs at me, or yells at me. What should I do? Signed, Humiliated in Texas. Dear Humiliated, your husband obviously has a crush on this young pretty neighbor. Fortunately, from what you have written, it doesn't appear to be reciprocated. If I were you, I'd develop a sense of humor about the situation. Tell him that if he's planning to run away with her, you want advance notice so you can call your lawyer. Then bide your time, because these kinds of crushes usually wane. Dear Abby, a good friend of mine borrowed $5,000 because she said she was going to nursing school. I happily loaned it to her, but discovered later that she unenrolled several days after classes started. I asked her for the money back, but felt sorry for her because she was not working due to the pandemic. Fast forward a year. I have extensive dental work scheduled, so I finally asked her to repay me. I told her I would take payments, but I need a regular time of month every month. She agreed to pay me back, but made no mention of a timeline. I am not sure how to approach her again. I'm not rich, and she knows it. We even shook hands on the agreement with her telling me she'd pay me back at a date that has now passed. Advice? Signed, Too Generous in Oregon. Dear Too Generous, you are learning a very expensive lesson. With friends like this woman, you do not need enemies. Do not count on getting any money from her. Find another way to pay for that dental work, because without a repayment agreement in writing, there's no way you can force your good friend to do the right thing. Something to keep in mind for the future. Do not give anyone any more money than you can afford to lose. You can write to Dear Abby at DearAbby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.